This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll hear about one woman's efforts to make Price Hill a better place and the push for more plug-ins for electric cars. To start us off this afternoon, spring not only brings blooming flowers and warmer weather, it's also the high season for swindles and scams, from bogus quick tax refund offers to door-to-door solicitors with seemingly great deals on home and yard repairs. Amber Hunt, consumer advocate reporter with the Cincinnati Inquirer, is back with us to discuss the paper's watchdog efforts and some of the more common scams and frauds to be on the lookout for, especially at this time of year. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Amber, great to see you this afternoon.
I'm really excited to be back.
Of course, you know, this warmer weather means the door-to-door solicitors are out in force. They're offering tree trimming, driveway paving, roof repairs, all kinds of work like that. And some of these are reputable people, and some of them are not. So what are some of the common red flags, things that you should be on the lookout for that tell you whether you are dealing with an honest person or not?
Well, honestly, one of the first flags is if they come to your door and they knock and your community has rules against that. I mean, right away, they're violating your local community rules. So that's usually a bad sign. And then they always have some great line, too, where they say, oh, I was working on your neighbor's yard, or I've got some leftover material. All of those are big red flags. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, usually should you be watching out for things like pay me up front. I need the cash right now. I can do the work immediately, that kind of thing. And then as soon as they've got the cash, guess what?
Absolutely. So we at Inquirer, we have Call for Action, which is a consumer mediation hotline. And I talk to the volunteers all the time who help people with their problems. And the biggest thing they always say is, I don't understand why people pay up front, because it happens all the time. You just can't pay upfront for stuff. You have to make sure that the work's being done.
Okay, so you've got a couple of cardinal rules when it comes to dealing with scam and fraud. Don't click the link. And I think you say it a little more emphatically than I do. And don't pay up front.
Right. And it's not unreasonable to require a down payment or something. But if it's a big upfront cost, that's a definite red flag.
Now, do you know if the Ohio Attorney General and Call for Action, maybe, do you get a lot of complaints about this kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. This is, and especially this time of year, this is one of the biggest complaints. And the BBB also puts out warnings this time of year saying that, you know, because you're just last night, I had a crazy storm come through my yard. And so things were falling on my roof and I've got damage and you want to get it fixed right away. And so these are scammers who are really opportunistic. They show up because they know you need help right this second. Every year this time of year, you've got complaints about people showing up, offering to do work, walking away with your money without having done the work, or doing a subpar job because they're not properly licensed and don't know what they're doing. It's always a problem.
Does it make sense to get something like this in writing, get a contract with that person?
Oh, always get everything in writing. Everything. Absolutely.
And what about references? Is that something good too? You can check out a person's references?
Definitely. Although you do have to be a little bit careful because, you know, there's no way to know for sure if Joe Smith comes to your door and says, hey, here's a reference. It might just be his cousin. It might not actually be a consumer. So you really need to do your research. And that would mean, you know, checking out the Better Business Bureau, checking out the local court system to see if they've got a string of lawsuits against them for unfinished work, you know, doing general Google searches. None of these by themselves are great indicators, but when you put it all together, you can start to get a feel for whether somebody's legitimate or not.
Well, and I would think if you say something like, I want this in writing, and they balk at that, then that's probably a pretty sure sign not to deal with that person.
Oh, yeah, that would be bad.
That would be a biggie,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
That's a definite bad sign.
What about proof of insurance so that if they get injured while they're doing the work on your property?
Absolutely. Proof of insurance is important. If they're reputable, they'll likely have it. And, you know, that can cost you a lot of money if somebody gets injured on your property. So you really do have to be careful not to just let anybody traipse on your roof.
We're talking with Inquirer consumer advocate reporter Amber Hunt. You can join the conversation if you have questions about scams. 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Of course, Amber, the other rite of spring is the big April 15th deadline. that's coming up. And this is the first year that people are going to have to pay the Affordable Care Act penalty if they don't have health insurance when they file their taxes. And there's been a scam revolving around that, hasn't there?
There has, because, you know, tax time isn't stressful enough. The scammers just had to latch on to something where there's a lot of confusion, and so they can exploit that in people. And so the big thing right now is that some of the less reputable tax preparers are actually saying, hey, you know that individual shared responsibility provision fee you have to pay? You just pay that to me, and I'll take care of it. And of course, they just pocket it. And a lot of these people, they're paying it, they might not even owe it because there are so many exemptions. And this is just somebody looking to line his pocket quickly. So you have to be careful about that right now, too.
That's amazing. Is that pretty true of most people who are committing fraud or scamming people, that they're being opportunistic and taking advantage of the something immediate and maybe even something that's confusing?
Absolutely. If I didn't see so many good people volunteering to help others in this situation, I think I would be a depressed mess, because the amount of, you know, the number of times I've seen somebody just take advantage of somebody because they can is really sad. And it happens, you know, even in this scam, they're targeting largely people who aren't primary English speakers, because they know that, you know, taxes are already confusing enough for them. And then you mix in that they can't understand English as well. Well, that just makes them an even better victim.
So have there been any local cases of this particular scam?
So I haven't heard any yet, but I bet you money that there have been, because what I've learned in this beat is that people are so embarrassed when they are taken advantage of that they don't report it. So anytime I hear, you know, one or two complaints about a business or an outfit, I figure that that's probably representative of significantly more, because so many people get duped and will not raise their hand and say, you know, I'm an idiot, because they just feel stupid.
Yeah, so there's a reluctance and there's an embarrassment to report it. I guess in some cases people aren't even sure what hit them, are they?
Yeah, and they don't know if they did something wrong. They're not entirely sure. I mean, they're being preyed upon because they're confused and they're vulnerable at the offset. So there's already, you know, a way for them to wonder, if I had done something differently, could I have protected myself? So they just don't come forward.
What are some of the other scams that revolve around tax season?
Well, right now there's an amazing number of identity theft complaints, as in like record-setting, unprecedented identity theft, not just in Ohio, but nationwide. But Ohio's a big one, and in fact, they've decided they've flagged certain state returns to require the filers to take an online quiz to verify their identity, and that, in and of itself, has actually caused a few problems, but the hope is that it'll curtail some of this identity theft.
Oh, you did a pretty interesting story about the, you know, it's best of intentions, but unintended consequences, where actually two women got confused because they were so similar, and the answers they were giving to the quiz questions were so similar.
I loved this story, and the people sitting around me in the newsroom were probably really confused when they heard me on the phone, because I'm talking to this woman who tells me she's Marilyn R. White, and I had just interviewed a Marilyn R. White, and this woman on the phone now is saying, but I've never talked to you. And these women were so similar. They lived within an hour of each other. They were born within a year of each other. They both had one son and one daughter. They were both married for nearly 5 decades, one to a man named Donald, one to a man named Ronald. And the state system got them confused. So when they were trying to verify their identities, they were getting mixed up and being told, you are not who you say you are. And they were pretty sure that they were.
Yeah, I bet they were. What is the state stance on these quizzes?
Well, I mean, that was such an outlandish, like, unexpected
situation. It kind of, what
situation.
Are the odds kind
right,
of thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That most of the time, this isn't going to happen. Most of the time, you know, I put in Amber Hunt, and if I narrow it down by my birth date and maybe what county I live in, they're going to find the right Amber Hunt. But in this case, it just so happened that it wasn't just Marilyn White. It was Marilyn R. White. one son, one daughter, you know, everything was lining up.
Now, did both the Maryland Whites get an apology from the state after this?
They did. They did. and they actually, one of them had already filed, and her situation was expedited once they figured out what had happened.
But I guess in this case, the state's just being cautious. They're trying to cut off tax theft and identity theft. So I'd rather see them be cautious, even if occasionally something like this happens.
I would venture that both Marylands would say the same thing now that they know what's going on. And I mean, they were obviously scared for a bit that somebody was trying to steal their identities. But once they figured out what was happening, they said, okay, all right, well, I can send in the paperwork. I can do this if it means that I'm going to be protected.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's talk with Peter in Batesville. Good afternoon, Peter. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hey, how are you today?
Great, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Hey, I'm a small contractor, and I work by referral only. So if you get my number, it's because somebody gave it to you that I've done work before. But when I first started out, it was pretty small. Didn't have a lot of money to work with. And a lot of hiring people to do renovations and things like that for their home, they're trying to save a few bucks. So a lot of times they'll take risk and call in smaller people instead of larger companies who can fund the full project. Little guys want some money up front, and unfortunately a lot of those guys are kind of fly by night. But what I did in the very beginning was tell customers, well, I tell you what, I can even drive to the hardware store with you. You can pay for all the products yourself, and I will deliver them and simply charge you for my time spent. That way they're not out. Or once I deliver the products to their house and drop them off, they cut a check for the cost of those items. And at least they have in their possession the pieces that they've paid for. So they're not out anything. And then only the small contractor has to do is he's risking some labor, and then you just got to check some references. Ask contractors, can I see work you've done before? Can I go there? Can I physically go there? And a lot of times, if they're not from your neighborhood, chances are they're storm chasers and they're, you know, doing what's happening in the tri-state when the hurricane came through some years ago. But just a little piece. It'll help folks out a little bit.
Thank you, Peter. Some good advice. And it sounds like Peter's giving a lot of green flags. First off, he's only doing business by referral.
Right.
That's a biggie. And secondly, he's cautious about how he takes your money and how you get the product and that kind of thing.
And it sounds like he's sensitive to the idea that you might be leery, because, you know, when you're handing over a lot of money for a project, you have the right to be leery.
So I guess the key word that comes to mind with what Peter is talking about is if somebody comes to your door and offers to do work for you, transparency. If they're totally transparent about what they're up to,
right,
that's a pretty good sign.
I mean, we all have to take risks sometimes in terms of, you know, who we decide to use as a service provider in any field. But, you know, if you're not paying attention to the red flags and you're not honoring your gut, you're much more likely to end up victimized.
So is your gut's probably one of your best protectors against scam, isn't it?
I would definitely say so. I think most people have a sense when something's going awry, and a lot of times they tell themselves they're just being paranoid.
More coming up with Amber Hunt. If you have any questions about scams and how to avoid them, you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking with Inquirer consumer advocate reporter Amber Hunt this afternoon. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Amber, I'm a big fan of credit unions, and I understand right now there's a phishing scam out there that's targeting credit union members, and it always makes me think, is there nothing sacred to these guys? I mean, they'll pick at anything, won't they?
Yes, they will.
The National Credit Union Administration is saying that someone's using a website and a logo similar to theirs, and they're sending out emails to people, and that this is, of course, all just an attempt to get personal information In some cases, it's an attempt to get you to transfer money. But the big thing is don't fall for it. And this sounds like a lot of the financial scams that go around.
Right. And it feels like I'm writing the same stories over and over again, because it's like basically take out one business name and put in a different one. If it's not this bank being targeted this week, it's this credit union next week. But that happens all the time. You get, you know, a very official looking email, for example, that seems completely legitimate and asks you to log in with your information because they're trying to protect your account. That's always my favorite, that they're doing it. You know, the irony is beautiful.
They?
Yeah. I get them from iTunes even, where they say there's some problem with your account, log in here. Well, as soon as you click the link and you start to give them your personal information, you're actually handing them the keys to either steal your identity or put charges on your account. There's a whole mess that can follow from that.
So this goes back to your one of your key rules, which is don't click that link.
Just don't do it.
Don't fall for the temptation. I guess what you should do is, if you're wondering what the heck is up, you can call your financial institution and say, you know, I got this email. They've usually got fraud departments they can refer you to.
Absolutely.
And you can talk to them and tell them, hey, this is what happened, and is this legit or is it not legit?
And, you know, you can even log into your account. The trick is, don't use their link to log into your account. You need to type in your own institution's URL, go there yourself so that you're not trusting their link. Because in reality, that link can take you anywhere.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Marlene in Kenwood. Good afternoon, Marlene. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my call. My question is about the issue of identity theft. I just learned yesterday from a dear friend that their identity was, I guess, stolen via the filing of a fraudulent tax return in their name.
Ooh.
Using, I guess, the Social Security number and name here in Southwest Ohio. So it's too late for prevention for that specific, and there was an Inquirer article yesterday about the very same subject. So the question is, what would Amber Hunt recommend for steps to take immediately after the fact to file with government agencies or IRS or FBI or TurboTax or credit bureaus or banks to control the situation or to learn and to move forward?
Absolutely. Everything you just said is where you start. And on top of that, every credit card you have, go ahead, close it out, get a replacement. Your bank, you need to let them know that you've been compromised. You need to report it to the credit bureaus so that they're aware that if there's any kind of weird activity, that they can look it out, check and make sure that you're the one actually making this purchase or applying for this credit card or what have you. It's labor intensive and it's frustrating, but it has to be done very systematically. Otherwise, you know, you could end up finding out that something that happened today didn't really become a problem until 5 years from now. So you have to be proactive as soon as you know you're compromised.
Okay, thank you for the call. We had a call that pointed out that many Hispanics and others, where English is not the native language, they have trouble reading the tax forms in the first place and properly filing and getting their returns. So is it common for people who don't speak English, is it common for them to be targeted by scammers? And I think you were saying on the ACA scam that's out there, that one was going after people who weren't English speaking.
That absolutely is. And you know, it's not just people who don't speak English first. It's also elderly people who maybe aren't as tech savvy. I mean, they really do go for the most vulnerable, and it's frustrating. So you have to make a point to recognize within yourself what limitations you might have and make a point to reach out to agencies that are designed to help you, because they do exist. You know, AARP is out there and there are second language acquisition type agencies that help people who don't speak English as a first language. So it's important to take those extra steps.
And we had a call from Herb. Now, he said he always asks folks soliciting for charities how they earn their money. He wants to find out what percentage of the donations are going to the cause and how much in administrative fees. Is it a good idea to probe people when they're asking for charitable donations? Is it good to check them out like that?
It can be awkward, I'm sure, but they actually have some agencies that you can check, so you don't necessarily have to quiz the person trying to do good, you know. GuideStar.org is a good organization where you can look up how money is spent, and there are a number of them like that. But it is, you know, when you're handing over your money to any organization, you have a right to ask how it's being spent. So it's fair.
Now, what are some of the other scams that we're seeing this time of year, Amber? Is there anything else floating around out there we should be cautious of?
What I encountered one recently, I actually called it Throwback Thursday because it's an oldie but a goodie. It's the phoner toner scam, they call it. And this is when, let's say you run a small business, somebody calls up and says, you know, I know you've got this photocopier and can you remind me what the model number is? And the next thing you know, you've got this big delivery for toner that you don't need. And also it costs twice as much as it should. And also it's terrible quality. So that one's a big one. And it's been around since the 80s, at least. But it's coming back around because, you know, employees today, it's new to them.
That goes around, comes around.
Exactly.
Scams.
Fashion, scams, everything. It all comes back in style.
Let's talk with John in Westchester. Good afternoon, John. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi. I was wondering, what happened in my wife's family? I was curious if you'd seen anything like that. In her family, her aunt got involved in one of these like oil scams to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And
so this was an offer to invest in oil somehow, John?
An offer to invest in oil through private channels, and they could then bring it here to the United States and sell it at a huge profit.
Wow. That alone is a huge red flag.
Right. Federal investigative type stuff right there.
Right. You know, it's so sad though, because I mean, we're probably 10 years down the road, maybe more from when that began. And you have a family that is so wrapped up in that what they did was legitimate that they can not only not admit to themselves, but they continue to drag other family members into this to try and continue to salvage this opportunity.
Well, I mean, that's how pyramid schemes survive and so forth. I mean, people, they don't want to believe that they were victimized. They trusted whoever brought them into it. It's really heartbreaking when you hear these kinds of stories, especially when the money is in that range. I mean, that's life-altering money right there. But the truth is that if something sounds too good to be true, there's a reason they say it probably is.
Well, have you ever run across that?
Not an oil scam. Okay. But I actually used to work for the Associated Press in South Dakota. So I there were a lot of oil related issues out there in the South Dakota, North Dakota area. And of course, they're looking to make a quick buck.
And you know,
I mean, I was advocating really getting actively involved into trying to make this stop, but the rest of the family members who knew it was a scam didn't really want to upset the apple cart. They didn't want to upset this family.
Yeah.
And so they've said nothing. And to me, it's been an enormous disappointment all the way around.
That's just a tough situation, John. You know, a legitimate investment, they're going to offer you a prospectus to look at so you know what you're getting yourself into. They're going to have all kinds of SEC filings and papers that people can look at. And it just sounds like a bad situation. Sorry they fell into it.
Okay.
Thanks, John. Amber, you're working with Call for Action. You mentioned it earlier. Tell us about that organization.
I love Call for Action. So we're actually coming up on our anniversary next week. I'm very proud of our volunteers. We have people who come in, they work for free, and their entire purpose in life is to take your phone call, find out, you know, what kind of problem you're having with a business or a government agency, and they mediate the dispute. And we're actually looking for some new volunteers as we start the second year. So if anybody's interested, by all means, reach out. It's been really popular and very successful. We've gotten back more than $127,000 for people in this first year.
That's impressive. Now, what kind of cases have you solved recently with Call for Action?
Well, I'm working on one right now that involves a construction company. We've gotten back $15,000 for work that was paid up front and he didn't do the work. Exactly the kind of spring scam we were just talking about.
Yeah. And if somebody wants to get involved with Call for Action or just contact the organization's website, phone number?
Absolutely. Website is cincinnati.com/callforaction. And that's where you can fill out a form to reach us. And also we're at 513 513- 768-8833 from 11 to 1 weekdays.
And don't worry if you didn't get the phone number written down, because you can find the phone number as well as the link at wvxu.org.
Thank you.
Amber, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Amber Hunt is consumer advocate reporter with the Cincinnati Inquirer.